how that affects your life. As we look at this passage of Scripture, there is a great verse here that we want to kind of start off with, but Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13 says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off." Having seen them afar off. And of course, we recognize from the very context, we think of Abram and Sarah. They had one child. God said that their descendants would be as the a multitude of the stars, or as the sand upon the seashore. And certainly they did not in their lifetime see that promise fulfilled. And of course, you think of Isaac and Rebekah, Isaac, Abram and Sarah's son. They had just the two boys, Esau and Jacob. The multitude, as the stars in number, the sand by the seashore, was very remote in reality, in their own earthly existence. And yet, the Bible says that they saw the promises afar off. Now, Jacob got a little bit closer as he saw his 12 sons, and as he spent the last few years of his life in Egypt, when there was a beginning of a crowd, you might say, 70. But even then, he did not see that multitude as the sand of the seashore. And of course, we know 400 some years later that Israel was led out of Egypt with over 2 million of the descendants of Abram. And it was beginning to take place. And yet, the promise was much bigger than that. The promise was much, much bigger than that. And really, the promise centered upon the very most important thing in life. It centered on Abraham being the seed of Jesus Christ. And much of the Old Testament is all about that seed and following that seed through the history of time and the people of Israel. But in John chapter 8, it tells us that Abram realized the promise of God to him, that in him all the nations of the world would be blessed, and that his descendants would be as the sand of the seashore and the stars of heaven. We recognize that Abram knew that the promise was even bigger than that. In John chapter 8 and verse 56, this is what Jesus said. It says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." He saw the promises afar off. Wow. Here we're going about 2,000 years into the future. And Abraham was able to comprehend the promise that God had given to him that would result in the coming of the Messiah, the seed of the woman, the seed of Abraham, the seed of David, who would rescue man from their sins. And so the Bible says that they saw the promises afar off. And Abraham specifically saw these promises and saw them in light of the coming of Jesus Christ. Now, perhaps for us, that might be a little bit difficult to imagine. that he saw the day of Christ. We don't all know all that involves, but we do know that the Bible tells us that faith in God's word is key to understanding the future. Faith in God's word is the key to understanding and living in light of the future. Now, how can we say this? What about the message of God's word? The Bible tells us the message of God's word must be mixed with faith. You can hear the message of God. You can know what it is, but that's not the key. The key is to have that message mixed with faith. All the people of Israel, they heard God say that the land of Israel was theirs and that he was going to give it to them. They all those who came from Egypt understood that God had said that, but because they did not believe it. When it was time to go into the land, they refused. They refused. Now the Bible says in Hebrews 11, it says, faith is the conviction of things not seen. The evidence of things not seen. When you think about that, that's a very, very important aspect of your and my life is faith, and faith in what God's word has said about the future. And so as we think about this, I want to say this, that for the person of faith, future events predicted and warned about are real. They're real. They're not just a theological statement. They're not merely a so-called belief. They are real. Now, let me illustrate how that works. I remember a number of years ago on bus visitation, I knocked on this door of a bus kid, and the mom answered the door, this apartment, and we began to talk, and I was talking about children coming to Sunday school on the Sunday school bus, and she said, I don't believe in hell. I guess must have been asking her to come to church too or something like that, and she says, I don't believe in hell. And I said to her, let me read to you what the Bible says. And didn't argue with her. I just said, let me read to you what the Bible says. And I began to read to her Luke chapter 16. And beginning with verse 19. These are the words that I read to her. It says, and there was a certain beggar named, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores, and it came to pass that the beggar died. And he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And besides all this, Between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence. And then he said, I pray thee, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Wow. I read that passage of scripture, this lady, as I began to read it, tears began to well up in her eyes. As she realized that what God said was real. What God said is real. You know, there's many events of the future that we can know about. But you know, they are not going to make any effect upon our life if we do not have faith. If we do not believe what God has said. And a person of faith recognizes that these events are not just words, they're not just some belief, but they recognize that they will really happen. They will really happen. Let's think about, we talked about the reality of hell. What about the reality of judgment? What about the reality of judgment? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 tells us that even believers will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. They'll not stand at the judgment seat of the white throne, where all those that are there will be cast into hell, but every believer will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And the Bible tells us about it. It tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It says, verse 11, for no other foundation can man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built therein, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, this is a future event. And this is a, for a person of faith, this is a real future event in which the believer, and of course, Paul is talking to the church at Corinth, and in the church of Corinth, there was divisions. And there were those who were leading division in the church that were destroying the church. And he said, now you know what? Everybody in this church is going to stand before the judgment seat. And with what they did was destroying the church, their works will be burned up. What they did for God would be burned up. If what they did was in the Spirit and for God's glory and was of God, their works will be revealed by that fire. And that fire will reveal who's been working for God and who's been working for the devil in the church. Wow. That's pretty real, isn't it? You know, the Bible makes a statement. The person of faith accepts it and recognizes it. Hey, that's really going to happen. Now, Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You know, obviously we recognize that a lot of Protestant religion erases that verse by saying that that verse talks about baptism, which it doesn't. But you know what it does say? It does say that a person has to be born again. It does say that a person must be born again. Every man is born into the family of Adam and is born a sinner. Every man is born with a sinful nature, with a love and tendency towards sin. Every man is born lost because of that. I would say we're born sinners and we're lost because we're going to sin. But man needs to be born into God's family. Man needs a new heart. Man needs a new will. Man needs a new understanding. Man needs new affections. They need to be born again. That's what he said. You know, notice he didn't say, except you pray a little prayer, you can't get to heaven. Didn't say that, did he? Said, except to be born again. We already know that the Pharisee, he prayed a prayer and he thought he was praying to God and he was only praying to himself. Right? He wasn't praying to God. Because he wasn't broken. He wasn't humble. He wasn't repentant. That's a real future event. Can you imagine standing before God without the new birth? No one will see the kingdom of God without the new birth. You know, what God says is true. It's not just a fairy tale. It's just not something that you heard. But you know, faith takes those truths and it becomes a real concrete reality in that person's life. Faith. So faith is the key to being ready for the future, because faith views the future events of the Bible as true. Abraham saw the day of Christ and he rejoiced to see it. He was a man of faith. But I think there's some other little principles here I want us to think about as we apply this. This idea that faith is so vitally linked to the future, how they see the future, what their future life will be like. It says, since these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, they saw them and were persuaded of them and embraced them. And confess they were strangers and pilgrims of the earth. Now it says they were persuaded of them. You know, this gives us the understanding that they acted and responded because of their faith. They acted and responded to these future events they knew to be true. They act decisively in the present in light of the future. You know, I think there's the key we want to think of. They acted decisively in light of the future. Now, we're emphasizing that idea, acting decisively. We're comparing that to what? People who don't act decisively. You know, you ever meet people that just can't make decisions for God? They can make decision to buy a car. They can make decision to spend the rest of their life paying off a mortgage. You know, they can make decisions that are earthly and secular. But you know, they are just, have trembling hands and indecisive thinking when it comes to spiritual truths. Why? Because they don't have faith. They don't believe those things are true. They only have them truth in their head. It's not in their heart. They weren't persuaded of them. They weren't persuaded of them. They make person of faith makes present decisions on the basis of future events and promises. Notice what it says here. It says, verse 14, they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. If they had been mindful. What is it implying? It implies that they made clear, decisive decisions that we would call it, they burned the bridges behind them. They burned the bridges behind them. Now, we think of that in a military sense. Certain generals have been known in their military pursuits that as their troops were advancing in a very difficult situation, they would blow up the bridges behind them. And they asked the general, what are you blowing up these bridges for? He says, I don't want my troops to have easy opportunity to retreat. Now, the Bible does say that very truth in Luke chapter 9 and verse 62. Obviously, it's a verse that many of you know very well. But here is a man saying that he's going to follow Jesus wherever he goes. Luke 9:61, and another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, this is important truth. Now, it's pretty obvious about what a person thinks or has determined about what they are going to do if or if not they burn the bridges behind them. That's what it's saying. No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, he's using a farming illustration. Now, if you have a plow, and here's the oxen pulling the plow, and you're guiding the plow, and this is by hand. Well, you know, the whole thing is you have to keep your eye on the end of the row. But if you take your hand, if you look back, oh boy! You ever do that? You know? You ever hear see one of these horrible videos of here's a policeman stops somebody. He's at the side of the car giving this ticket, and the person who's driving on the freeway looks at the policeman, and what do? Run right into him because they took their eye off the road and put their eye on the policeman. Well, here's the principle. No man, having taken, putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Why? Because faith makes decisive decisions about the future. Faith makes decisive decisions based on the future and their commitment to the future. I mean, there's many applications of it. But you know, a person that gets saved and they keep, and I understand this is a relative statement, okay? But they get saved and they keep all their old friends. Now you need to reach all your old friends. But what about the guy who gets married and he keeps going out with all his buddies every night? Well, I don't know. That's not going to make a very good marriage, is it? And it really doesn't sound like this fella has decided that he is going to cleave to his wife, right? Wow. Not a very good idea. But it's a spiritual truth, isn't it? It's a spiritual truth. I was thinking about that the other day. As I was thinking about this message, I was thinking, well, you know, Joe Raines, it was just normal that when our church decided to have a cemetery, it was just kind of normal that Joe Raines was going to have a plot in that cemetery. You know why? It isn't really necessarily normal, but you know why he did it? Because he had no plans of ever leaving. Isn't that right? That's why he did it. He had no plans of ever leaving. You know, a person of faith makes decisive decisions based on the future. They make decisive decisions about the future, about in their life because of their faith. Now, you know what? If you have decided that you're going to live for Jesus Christ, if you've really decided that, guess what? You made some decisive decisions to make sure you're going to stay in that path. You make decisive decisions. And those decisions are based on the fact that these future events are what you are living for. What are you living for? Our lives reflect our faith. Our lives and our decisive or lack of decisive decisions reveal our faith in the future events spoken of in the Bible. And we could just go through so many multitudes of them, right? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall reap of the flesh corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall reap life everlasting. He that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Ooh. I mean, these are serious things, aren't they? Be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Wow. You know, people make decisive decisions. They decide they're going to be, their life is going to be about serving God. Why? Because they believe in the resurrection. Amen. They believe in eternity. So we see this very important principle. Those people of faith who have a futuristic faith act decisively in the present in light of future events. The last principle I want us to think of in Hebrews 11, I think is a neat principle. It says, and he embraced them and confessed they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly. They make it clear that they seek a country. Wow. Verse 16, but now they desire a better country that is an heavenly. You know, there is a people who have faith, a future, faith in the future events, have a stability of life. They have a stability of life. You know, what are we saying? That says they walked about as strangers and pilgrims. You know, if you take it from a different standpoint, it tells us that their life was secure. They knew what they were doing. They knew where they were going. They knew what they represented. They knew what they stood for. And they weren't going to be persuaded differently. They walked as a stranger and pilgrim. You know, so many temptations are no longer temptations for the person who has futuristic faith. All the world that the world offered, Abraham, Isaac, what does it say? It says they're not interested. Not interested. Not interested. Not interested. There's a missionary who had been on the field, and this is days before airplanes and things like that. He'd been on the field for, stories told, been on the field for all his life. Hadn't been back from the mission field. And he got back to USA, and now all these big apartments, department stores were there, and, you know, all these goods, and they thought they were going to impress this missionary by taking him to New York City and all the big stores and stuff, you know, and so they took him around, and after the whole spiel and showing him all this stuff, and they says, what do you think? He said, I didn't see anything I was interested in. I didn't see anything I was interested in. Wow. Yeah. His faith guided him through life, didn't it? His faith protected him in life. His faith was the key to making the right decisions. His faith was the key to being free from many of the temptations of life. Why? His life was plotted out. What he was going to live for. What was the purpose of his life? He was living for the day that he would stand before Jesus. Living for the day he would give account. Living for the day in which the Lord would say, you know, I died for this, for all the people of the world. How many of them have you tried to reach for me? There's this security that goes with those who have futuristic type of faith as Abraham did. What a blessing. It gives minimizes temptations. It gives clarity in making decisions. It is the missing element in churches today. The missing element in churches today. What is the missing element? The missing element in churches today is understanding the future. Believing what God says about the future. It's not about today. It's about the day that was expressed in the Apostle Paul when he said, I have kept the faith. Ooh. I have kept the faith. I was just talking to a man yesterday at Maxwell Street Days. And he stopped by the booth, and he's a nice Christian man. And he said he went to Missionary Alliance Church, and I have a friend who went there. I tried to remember his last name. I don't get remember his first one. And we got talking, and I said to this fellow, hey, say, you know, A.B. Simpson, the founder of Missionary Alliance Church, he was a godly man. You know anything about him? He says, I just kind of heard the name. I says, but you know, man, A.B. Simpson, he was a godly man. And you know, the old Missionary Alliance Church, they would have Sunday school, and they'd have morning service, and they'd have evening service, and they'd have Wednesday night, and they'd preach against sin. And I mean, I told him the whole spiel. And I says, what do you think about that? He says, you know, we got a new pastor. He's really a nice guy. But he doesn't preach with clarity. He's not trying to stand against the apostasy of the hour. He doesn't really believe that, you know what? Give an account to the Lord. There's a big event in life, isn't it? Future. I wonder, are you living for the future? Are you living for the future? What do you think about the future? I have a couple applications. Number one, is the future conviction in your soul? Does it grab your soul? Do you envision yourself standing before God at death? Do you see it? Do you see yourself as a Christian? Do you see yourself standing before Jesus Christ? Do you see that day? Are you concerned about that day? Does that day grab you? Are you waffling in your life? You know what I mean by waffling? Double-minded. Not secure in what you're going to do in life, where you're going, what you believe. You're waffling. The Bible tells us the key to not waffling is to have a faith that's based on the future that is revealed in the Bible. You know, today and the future ought to be on the same path, not a conflict. Today and the future ought to not be a conflict. Today should be all about the future. You know, I've been reading the book of Proverbs. I read it chapter most every day. And the thing that dawned upon me in the book of Proverbs is that there's a very specific perspective to everything that is said. And the perspective of Proverbs is always the perspective of the future. It says, if you do this, this is what's going to happen. If you don't do this, this is what's going to happen. If you do this, then you will be blessed. If you do this, such and such will happen. And the father's teaching the son and saying, you know, this is what that brings. You know, I remember being raised and my mom would say something like, don't do that. That'll end you up in jail. You don't want to go to jail. You know, your parents ever say that, you know? Yeah. They're talking about the future. Don't do that. Don't do this. It's all about the future. And if there's anyone who should be living in light of the future, it's the people of God. Amen. The people of God. Their faith makes them future oriented. So much of Christianity today has become today oriented. But you know, the Bible makes it pretty clear that the future is forever. And we can live as though, Mr. Griffin was telling me yesterday, he was witnessing to a man and he said, there's no problem about hell. And Mr. Griffin began talking to him about hell. Whoa, boy, guy got a little bit nervous, had to close up shop quick. He's trying to live in denial of the future. Are we living in reality of the future? Do we really believe what the Bible says? You know, the issue is many times we believe it in our head, but we don't believe it in our heart. We aren't really convinced of those events. If we're convinced of those events, it will grab a hold of our soul and it will change our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God today. Thank you, Lord, as we are reminded of that simple truth that Abraham saw the promises afar off. They were so far in the distance, Lord, as far as humans that we would think. It is just amazing how he saw them, how his life was molded by them, how his whole testimony was centered around the promises of God. And even though he saw very little of them fulfilled, they still were his guide in life. And Lord, we can only pray that your Holy Spirit, that you would get a hold of hearts today as to the reality of the fact that there is a heaven, there is a hell, there is a judgment of the believer, there is a reward, there is a life that is worth living, there is a life that when we see Jesus, it will be worth it all, no matter what sacrifice there was. Because you are the real and living God. And there will be a day that we all, believers, stand, kneel before thee and sing the song, Thou art worthy, O Lord. Thou art worthy. We pray that you would minister to our hearts. While our heads are bowed and eyes closed, maybe the future hasn't gripped a hold of your heart. And the issue is, you haven't embraced it by faith. You haven't believed God. You haven't decided to believe God. But today, the Spirit of God is speaking to your heart that there is a heaven, there is a hell, there is a time that we will stand before God. There is a day our life will be over on this earth and then they will be facing eternity forever and ever. And say, God is speaking to my heart. I need, as a sinner, I need to get ready for the day I meet God and go into eternity. I need Jesus Christ as my Savior. Please pray for me. I'm not ready for that day today, but I need to be. And would you pray for me, Pastor, as we close the service? Anyone here today? Lift up your hand wherever you might be. Okay. All right. Praise God. I see those hands. Amen. How about you? Oh, I'm not ready. I need to be. The future is real. There is an eternity. I'm not ready. Would you pray for me? Anyone else join these? You're here today as a Christian, and you say, you know, this world has detracted me. I've been detracted. I've been waffling because my eyes have been taken off the future. And my eyes, my sight has been darkened by a passing world. And you say, you know, the Lord has shown that to me today. The Lord has showed me that I need to live for the future. That will make my life secure. That will make my life decisive. That will, Lord, be a blessed day for me if I, as a believer, begin to live for the future. And those things in your life that are hindering or distracting or are worldly minded rather than future minded, the Lord has spoken to your heart. Say, this needs to be the day that I take my eyes off of this present evil world. And by God's grace today, I am deciding that I am living for the future. Decisively burning your bridges behind you, decisively doing all that it would take to make sure that you never go backwards. Decisively giving yourself to Jesus Christ and what that might involve. Say, Pastor, pray for me. God has spoken to me about that very issue in my life. Maybe it is some thing, some decision. Maybe it is it has become a habit of your life. But the Spirit of God is dealing with you today and say, this is the day of decision for me. Anyone here today, just raise your hand and say, God spoke in my heart. Amen. Okay, number of different hands this morning. Anyone else? God is speaking to your heart. Okay, amen. Lord, now I thank you for the Word of God. And thank you for the fact, in your mercy, the truth can set us free. We pray, Lord, oh God, we pray your Holy Spirit would do that work of conviction. That you, Lord, would draw those souls to you that you've died for. That, Lord, that you want to save, that you want to make them your children. Draw them to yourself, Lord. Give them faith and repentance to come to you, Lord. We pray, Lord, for the believers today that have made this request for prayer, this work that you have sought to do in their life. And, Lord, I pray that you'd help them to be decisive. I pray that, Lord, that you help them to get a clear vision of your plan, of that day that they will stand before thee and their life will be judged. Lord, that they would be able to give an account and that there would be reward, Lord, as a believer. And so, Lord, give your guidance and your direction, your willful decisiveness in responding to your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Pastor John, come lead us in closing hymn. And perhaps as you're here today, you would like to make that decision to accept Christ as your Savior. We send that an invitation for you to come. Let someone guide you through the Word of God of how you can put your faith in Christ. Maybe you're here as a Christian. And that decision you're making is very serious. Maybe you'd like to have someone pray with you. Maybe you'd like to just seal that thing here at the front between you and the Lord as God would lead in your life.
Already singing hymn 388 this morning. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. 388. Let's stand, please.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me
have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow.
All right, let's close in prayer. Scott Costridge, would you close for us, please?
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this blessed opportunity we have to be in your house to hear the Word of God being preached. We thank you, Lord, for the message today. Each one of us, as we stand and look out.